Now the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here. Hashamish Shahoya Mishamish Al Hashnayim. The Shamish. We've learned about the Shamish in the Mishnah, just the fact that the Shamish who eats a Kazayas can be included in the Zimun. But this is a different Mishnah. The Shamesh who was serving two people. That is, two people are having a meal, and there's a waiter. Obviously, the waiter is Jewish. Hareza ochel imohem. So it's interesting. It's a strange kind of a thing. But this is what the Gemara is really talking about. Does he have a right to join them? He's a waiter. Does he have a right? Uninvited, of course. If he's invited, there's nothing to talk about. A little bit of a, looks like an etiquette kind of an issue. It's not what you would expect. It seems a little bit strange because it doesn't seem to be a halachic phenomenon. Can he join them? Can't he join them? What does this have to do with what we're trying to prove? But, nevertheless, the Gemara maintains that you can make a deduction. Hareza ochel imam. Afal pi shelo nasnu lo rishus. So he's permitted to join and eat with them even though they haven't given him permission. He could, so to speak, crash. Can he crash the party? That's the question. Okay. Hoya Mishamish al Shlosha, but if he was serving three. Three people had gathered together, same situation, and you have a waiter serving three. Hareza eino ochel imahem. He cannot eat with them. Ela imkein nasnu lo rishus. Unless they gave him rishus. So the Gemara doesn't even tell you what it's trying to deduce from this. We have to make the deduction ourselves. No, these are the facts. And from these facts, we're going to decide the issue as to whether you can have a Zimun by two. Facts are, waiter, serving people. If he's serving two people, he can crash, he doesn't need permission to join, he can join, automatically join. If he's serving three people, he can't automatically join, cannot crash the party. Unless he's invited. Of course, the way to go about this is to try and understand what's the issue of him joining. What are we told? What is the problem of, so to speak, crashing the party? What's the issue? And then what's the relevance to the question of two? At this point, you don't even have to know exactly what would be wrong. There's obviously something wrong with him joining when he's not invited. So even if you don't know exactly what that is and how that fits, so whatever, you can put an X over there. There's something wrong with that. And what it's telling you is that if it's two people, whatever there is wrong with crashing is pushed aside. So what is it? What is it when there's two and he joins that pushes aside the issue of so-called crashing? You can figure that out. And another clue that you have is, but when there's three, then there's no justification for crashing. What I'm trying to point out in terms of method is that people are attuned to just reading the Gemara and going immediately to Rashi. And that is not necessarily always a good idea. You read the Gemara and you try and figure out the Gemara. The best thing in any case, in terms of learning the method, in terms of improving yourself, is trying to figure out as much as you can on your own and then going to the source. Or if Tosfos asks the question, he raises a contradiction between two sources. So you stop. Before you look at the answer, the instinctive reaction is to try and figure out the question and then try and figure out the answer. But see if you can figure out the answer on your own. And then see what Tosfos says. And if he doesn't use your answer and your answer seems to be logical, then you have to analyze. Why didn't he use my answer? What's illogical about that? And so on. That's the best way to approach it. The logical first step is, what in the case of three, he can't join, because that's the problem of crashing, whatever it is. It's disrespectful, it's not etiquette, whatever the case may be. We don't know, but we can all sense that there's something improper. You know, you're not supposed to join together with people if you haven't been invited. But we don't know exactly what the halachic issue is. So that, okay, that's the case. Then the question is, so what is it about two? What permits him to do this when there's two? So the answer is, when two people are eating together, so they have birkas hamazon. The only thing I could see is that now that you have a third person joining, you can have zimun. So it's the factor of zimun that enables him to do it. Now you have two cases. Now you've established from the case of two that you can join when you're serving some kind of a purpose, essential purpose, halachically. And in the case of three, you're not, because that was, so that makes it even easier now. What's the essential purpose that you provide when there's two, but you don't provide when there's three? Oh, if we say it's Zeman, right, if we suggest the answer of Zeman, you put that into the computer, it seems to work. Because when there's a two, there's no Zeman, so his joining creates Zeman. When there's three, Zeman's already there. So then you can't join, because then you have to go back to the usual. The usual is that a person has no right to break in if he's not invited. Shamish has no right to break in if he's not invited. So thus we seem to have proven something. That is to say that Shnayim ain mezamnin. Why? The deduction we're making from this is that by two, you can't have Zimun. Why? Because if you were to say that two did have Zimun, so then as far as the issue of him crashing, it would be no different than three. Because we're saying that the only thing that gives him permission to join, to put aside the invitation, he doesn't need an invitation, is if he's contributing something, which didn't exist before. Before there was no Zimun, now his addition creates Zimun and he's permitted. We'll soon see exactly why that takes care of the issue of what we've called crashing. But that clearly shows you that two don't have Zimun. Again, if two did have Zimun, without him, his presence would be of no purpose, and with regard to the issue of him crashing, two would be no different than three. Thus, we've proven, it seems, at this point in time, that Shnayim, She'achlu, Kiyachar, are not just that they're not Chayavin, but they're also not Rashayin. They're not permitted to Zimun, to have Zimun, that two is insufficient. Two people together do not have the substance, so to speak, of Zimun. So the Gemara answers this. The Gemara says it's not a proof. That case is different. The Nichalahu, because it's satisfactory with them, it's acceptable to them. The Mikvalahu Bechova, that he does add something. When even though, I'm the one who maintains that two can have Zimun, of Rishus. But the reason why he can join when there's two, cannot join by three, is because by three, you have Zimun of Chova. So his joining does not provide anything. By two, I maintain that there's Zimun even without him. If you ask me if that's the case, so what does he provide by joining? He provides this, that he transforms it from a Zimun of Rishus to a Zimun of Chov. And that's apparently that significant. He does add something. And if you'll ask me, so what? You had Zimun anyway, so Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. The Nichalu, the Mikvalahu B'chova, the Gadol HaMetzuva V'yosa. It's greater. Gadol HaMetzuva V'yosa. The one who, that's an established principle, and it's very operative over here on this issue, is that, of course, it's contrary to our own intuition, but that the one who's commanded, who does the mitzvah, two people do the same mitzvah, one has no command, does it voluntarily. And the other one does it only because they're commanded, so it's greater. The mitzvah is greater if it's done as a result of a command than if it's voluntary. Once you accept that premise, that is gadol hametzuva v'yosa, so therefore, that source doesn't prove anything. It does not prove anything, and we don't know. That is to say, we can't deduce from that case that two don't have Zimun. Because my position is, when I say that two have Zimun, that it's a Zimun of Rishus. And we all agree that Zimun of Rosh Chodesh is not the same as Zimun of Chov. So therefore, he can join them, albeit uninvited, because he then changes it into a Zimun of Chov. Of course, now our work begins in terms of analyzing. So if that's the case, if everybody accepts that, that was not an issue. That the whole question of two is of Rosh Chodesh. And we've already established in the previous case, this seems to be the same type of an answer. That was the same way we got out of the first source, the first breakdown. So we all understand that two is Rishus, and three is Chov, and Gadol Mitzvah V'Yosa. So if that's the case, what was the Makshan? Well, the one who raised the question, what was his Havamina? What was the Havamina? What's the Maskara? There's a Machlokas over here. All right, so now we're just going to look at Rashi to find out what the issue is of the Shamesh joining. Ochel imohem, says Rashi, ain kan gaiva. There's no gaiva, haughtiness. The nichalahu, because it's acceptable to them. The maisi lahu l'dei zimun, because he's bringing them to zimun. V'ishnayim is amnin, and if you say that two can do zimun, amai nichalahu. So why is it acceptable to them? Belavdi day, without him, nami, ibo, mazamni. Without him, they could also do Zimun. Just an aside, interesting. You see, from here, it seems to be based upon a certain attitude, a certain psychology, that people that sit down to eat, and they know they have to bench, so they would be much happier if the benching would be, as opposed to an individual benching, you'd have a benching of Zimun. Is that true of all people? Are they thinking along those lines? And so on and so forth. That's not the way I understand the Gemara, that we know these people and we know what their thoughts are. It's a general estimate. It's an objective principle. So you're going to have to translate that into an objective principle. We're not asking the question, what about these people? Would these people... I think if you'd ask people that get together for a meal, very often they prefer their privacy. And you just barge in and join them, they might not appreciate it. That's irrelevant, though. It does show you, though, what the ideal is. Whether people are on the level of the ideal, it's nichalu. It's better. It's talking about the ideal. The ideal that it's expressing over here is that a person should appreciate the opportunity to perform the mitzvah on its highest possible level. So the Havmina held that the reason why he can't join is because of the issue of gaiva, that it's haughtiness. So it's a violation. And what's nichluhu? It's because as they are right now, they don't have Zimun. And when he joins them, he creates Zimun. So the Maskana therefore concludes that two do not have Zimun. But apparently the Havmina held, this is what you have to bear in mind at this point. Apparently the Havmina held that if two had Zimun, the Havmina knows. The Havmina is not contesting all these things. The Havmina knows that the three is Chov and Gadol Hamitzvah V'Yosa. Apparently, the Havmina held that if there's Zimun, and just for that, so to speak, that the fact that it's Shel Rishus and he transforms it into Chov, that's not sufficient. So the problem, the issue would still be that there's an issue of Gaiva. There is a sort of a conflict. On the one hand, he's not supposed to join because he wasn't invited, and it's haughty to join in. On the other hand, if he's doing so because they don't have Zimun, so then it wouldn't be Gaiva. But the Havamina apparently held that it would be a problem. It would be a problem if he joins them. Just to transform it from Rishus to Chav, that wouldn't justify. But Maskana says no. Maskana says that, seems to be, was an argument over here about what constitutes haughtiness. It's not haughtiness because the mere fact that he's transforming it from Rishus to Chav, Gadol Hamitzvah V'Yosa, That's significant. I mean, what are they arguing about? You could say either way.
What's the?
The Ramban says that it's found in the laws that apply to the melech. Special laws apply to the king. Vilti rum levava me'echav. So that is being in that position, he's restricted in certain things in terms of the amount of money he can accumulate, in terms of the sus of the horse. These have horses in front of him, and so on and so forth. Levilti rum levava. So that his heart should not be exalted over his brethren. So that even though the position is one which inspires awe, fear in others, they have to have a tremendous respect for the melech, but inwardly he has to be extremely humble. Levilti rum levavo. So from there you could deduce, certainly if a king who has a position of superiority over others and would have could have some basis for justifying those feelings, it's prohibited, certainly every Jew is prohibited from having those types of feelings. Gaiva. That's where the Ramban learns that it's an Isser D'oraisa. Not just that it's bad midah, that we know for sure, and not just that the Torah is against it on every possible level, but more specifically, is it connected to a particular mitzvah? So that's the Ramban. In this particular situation, there's a structure, there's an etiquette. So this does not apply necessarily to all people. It says the Shamesh. The Shamesh has assumed a certain subservient position. He's assumed that. So it would be a violation of that position brought about by Gaiva. So that's why you can lend yourself to a specific formulation. And you can say that he's not allowed to join them. He's not allowed to, unless he has Rishos. But this wouldn't apply necessarily to all people. Now, you're telling me that therefore anybody can barge in on anybody else? No. That's other issues. Other issues of Derech Eretz and respecting people's privacy and so on and so forth. So that would have to be dealt with in a different manner. Here it can be dealt with more specifically. The Meiri. First of all, the Meiri. The Meiri is on page 87 in our booklets, page 165. In the Dafei HaMeiri. It says, HaShamesh Sha'omed Al Shnayim. The Shamesh who's serving two. Ochel Belo Rishus. He eats without permission. He joins them. Sharei Mischadeshes Lahem mitzvah b'achiloso, because he establishes a new mitzvah in the achila, that is to say, zimun. Varehu minastam kumursha mehem b'kach. And all things being equal, we can regard him as having permission. See, so this is equivalent to receiving permission. Haya omed al gimel. If he was serving three, ein roy lo lecho. It's not fitting for him to join. He doesn't say usher, he says roy. El im kein nasna lo rishus. So that is to say that, according to the way the Meiri learns, you have to have rishus. For the shamash to join, he needs rishus. So when there's two, he doesn't have specific rishus, there's an assumption of rishus, kumursha. It's like he received rishus. Because he's mischadish something. He's creating something new. He's bringing something to the table, so to speak. But in the case of three, he can't. We're going to the Rush now. Page 16 in our booklet, Staff Lamed in the Rush. First column. Tanur Rabbanan, HaShamesh Sho'omed Al Shnayim. The Shamesh who's serving two can eat with them, even though they didn't give him Rishus. If he's serving three, he doesn't eat with them unless they gave him Rishus. Mikan Mashmash Mitzvah. Lachzar achar shlosha, kol mashi yecholin. He says from here we can deduce that it's a mitzvah to try to obtain three, if possible. Yishim birka zimun, because of zimun. Debarov am hadras melech, because of the principle that the more people that engage in sheva, it's a greater kavod to the king. Chay mashmanami v'per kolabasa. We're going to try now and analyze what the machlokas is between the two sides. Why did the Makshan maintain that there was a raya from here, that two cannot have a zimun? And the halacha of the Shamesh joining is explicable only if we assume that two do not have zimun. Why didn't he understand that? No, maybe two do have zimun, and the fact is he does bring something by joining because it now becomes a zimun of chav. Apparently that wasn't significant to the Makshan. So what's the machlokas? The problem with trying to approach this type of an issue definitively is that it seems to be an argument as to in what circumstances is it nichlahu, which only, again, goes to show you that we're not taking a poll of people here. It's not just merely a psychological thing. Well, now he reads people's minds this way, he reads people's minds that way. What kind of an argument is that? It seems to be like opinions. Are people, what would be the attitude of people? Sit around the table and discuss it endlessly. Would people be willing to have the shamash join them only if his presence creates a zimun? But if we already have a zimun and his presence would change the level from Rishus Techov, no? Or no, even then we're nichlu. I mean, how are you going to understand something like that? You can say whatever you want to say. So you can just leave the Gemara that way. This side maintains that this is sufficient. The other side says no. Let's see if we can make it a little bit more definitive. What's the halachic issue over here? The way I would approach this is to recognize the halachic difference between the transformation from no zimun to zimun. That's one type of a change. As opposed to Zimun of Rishus to Zimun of Chov. Different kind of a change altogether. That would be the first step. See, when you go, let's assume that two don't have Zimun. That's in point of fact, that's the Maskana, we conclude. So when you add a third person, you're creating a new entity. So now you have a new Chefta, so to speak. You have a Chefta Shel Zimun. But if two already is a Chefta Shel Zimun, it's just that when you add three, there's another factor. That's a different kind of a change. You're not creating a new entity. It's just it's halacha in the government, that Gadol HaMetzuva V'Yosa, that if a person does the mitzvah from the framework of Metzuva, so he has a greater kiyum. But that's a different, you're not effectuating a change in the same way. That is to say, when he joins, he doesn't create a new entity. He merely, it's an opportunity now for the individuals who are going to partake of it to fulfill it in the framework of Metzuva V'Yosa, which is a higher frame. That's a different type of a addition, so to speak. Now, how does that fit in over here? So, the question still arises, under what circumstances could you automatically assume that his presence is welcomed? We're still back to the original problem, but now we have a frame. Because again, you could have opinions endlessly. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for opinions. We're looking for some type of a categorical differentiation between how the two sides, understand the issue. So, I think the words of the Meiri are instructive. The Meiri said a few words, and he said that in that situation where you have two and the third person joins them, so then he creates a new entity of Zimun, and what does he say? It is commercial. Harehu commercial. It's like he was given Rishus. Therefore, according to this, the halacha of two is really patterned on what we find by the halacha of three. The halacha of three is a situation where they already have zimun, they have zimun of chav. So the shamash cannot join unless he's given rishus. That's the way this works. Without rishus, it's gaiva. With rishus. So now what's the halacha of two? Is the halacha of two the same idea? You have to have rishus. Except there are two kinds of rishus. There's explicit rishus and implicit rishus. Sometimes, or let me use the analogy of an invitation. Sometimes, you need a formal. There's a formal invitation. And sometimes it's not a formal invitation because the situation is one where you're filling a purpose. We need you. For example, like a shul. Shul may have a private kind of thing, and they may extend the invitation to, by invitation only. But if they only have 9 people, you're invited, because by coming, you're becoming the 10th. That's an automatic invitation. Because your coming there is fulfilling a pre-designated role. So if you're going to say that the idea of the shamish is when he's a mersha, you need the phenomenon of rishus. So rishus means that it's part of a structure. You're a component. You become a component. By becoming a component in a unit that's equal to rishus. It's understood. In the same way, I just made up an example that a tenth person is not barging in because he's becoming a component in the minion. So that's not barging in. However, once we already have the structure in place, then it's a question of this key at this level or that level. So that's already something else. That's not Mursha. Maskana says something else. Not that he requires formal rishus, but rather it has to do with the shamash himself, the nature of his entry. As long as he can point to a positive purpose that is achieved by his entry, that eliminates the negative. It's the elimination. And then you can't say I'm Bagaiva, because I'm going there for a purpose. As long as he's going there for a purpose, halachic purpose, halachic kiyum, so then it removes gaiva. It's only a gaiva. So that's two ways of approaching it, you see? In other words, do you require the positive of rishus from the group? Or no, you need the elimination of the phenomenon of gaiva, because it, what right do you have to be there? There's no reason for you to be there. So as long as he can point to the fact that there is a halachic kiyum and is going there, so then you can't accuse me of gaiva anymore. It's the elimination of the negative. That's why he says, if that's the case, then even though I maintain that two can do zimun, but it's a zimun of rishus. And by his coming in there, he's changing it from rishus to chav. Now, even though you're going to say that structurally speaking, there's no change because the entity of zimun already exists. Yeah, but there is a kiyum. So that's enough. As long as he could say that he's going there for that kiyum, so then you can't say that it's an expression of gaiva. So all you need is something, you see, which would eliminate it from being a pure, unadulterated expression of gaiva. So that exists, even if you assume that two do have zimun, but they don't have zimun of mitzvah v'yosa, so that's sufficient to remove it from being an expression of gaiva.
But he doesn't have...
According to this side, there's no isser in this situation. It's only us to join when there's no purpose. So therefore, it's just joining. It looks like gaiva. The other side apparently holds that there is an isser. But if he has rishus, that removes the isser. You see? That's a little bit more fine-tuned. To review, if you say that it's us to join, but you need rishus, so then it only makes sense if he's part of the component. The entity is missing something, and he creates a new entity, so then that's equivalent to rishus. Because he has a purpose in being there as part of the entity. But if you say that's not the case, that it's only prohibited because it's a expression, it appears to be an expression of gaiva, so that's because there's no purpose in joining. But in a situation where there's a purpose in joining, so then it's not an expression of gaiva.